Hey, hit me!
Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trendy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416.
National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
Yes, very good morning, New Delhi Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from Macquarie. I come to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country. That's BBM Bumblebee Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NIRS, National News Radio Service. You can have your saver calls on that, daily number 1-800-422-416. All right, now, a compelling six-part documentary series, La Rapinta, explores the stories and people that surround one of the oldest rivers in the world. Premiere on National Indigenous Television, NITV, and SBS On Demand, Saturday the 19th of August. Now, with that, I'm going to catch up with the lady in charge of the documentary, First Nation woman, Talia Little. Have Talia on the line. Talia, very good morning, sister. How are you?
Good morning. How are you?
I'm well. Thank you very much for coming to the program. Before we start, sister, let the mob know who you mob, where you're from.
Hey, mob. My name's Talia Little. I'm a proud Arundel Luritja woman from Central Australia. I'm the host of La Rapinta. And basically, I take you back home on my country to learn about the most magnificent and oldest river in the world.
So La Rapinta, that's the name of the river, sis?
Yeah, so La Rapinta is the traditional name and the way to pronounce it. La Rapinta means salty creek or salty river.
Yes.
So we use the word La Rapinta because the word La Rapinta is well known across the world because of the La Rapinta Trail. So to bring traction to the series, but the way we pronounce it on our country is La Rapinta.
And so for NITV and SBS to have this documentary up and running, look, great to have a First Nation person at the table, but also someone from that country that, La Rapinta has been a part of their life in the oldest river of the world, yes?
Yeah, so I'm the host of this documentary. I'm from that area, so that's really deadly. And
yes.
It's the oldest river in the world, but what people don't know is it's housed megafauna, dinosaurs, rainforests, It is so magnificent and holds so much knowledge and stories.
Yes.
And in this documentary, we go really deep into that and we get to see from not only the First Nations people or the Arundel people there, but from the scientists as well. And they back our stories up. So, we've always known this knowledge.
Yes.
But now we have these people saying, you're right, you know?
Well, exactly.
Finally.
Well, we are the professors, are we not? When we talk about First Nation people on the Big Island, Australia, we are professors in all fields. And when we talk about air, land and sea, and we're talking riverways, we've got to be front and centre, don't we?
We have to be front and centre. You know, we hold the key to the knowledge, you know. It's funny because it's when you think logistically, you know, we've been here so long, how is our knowledge not being used? And, you know, Indigenous people all over the world roughly make up 6% of the world's population, yet we look after more than 80% of its biodiversity. And yet often our stories and our knowledge are dismissed, which doesn't make sense. And on this documentary, we really go deep into those stories and the scientists are there backing it up and supporting it, which is really great because that's how we need to be working moving forward.
Well, exactly. And when you're talking about professors of the world, we are First Nation people in our country, 60,000 years. It's great to have the scientists and archaeologists at the table, virtually as students, learning the process.
Absolutely. You know, our grandparents, our great-grandparents, our families, you know, we used to say my great-grandmother, who's in the series, who's now passed away, but, you know, she was a professor of the land. She was a professor of our law, you know.
Exactly.
She was probably the most magnificent person I've ever known in this world and so smart. And that is, to a T, our people. You know, there's no one that knows this country better than us.
Fantastic. That's so true. Now, this fantastic documentary, La Rapinta, premieres on NITV SBS on Saturday, 19 August, coming up, yes?
Yep. coming up this Saturday, so you mob better get your mums on the couch to watch it.
8:30 p.m. Fantastic. Thank you for sharing, my sister. Your family must be proud to be having you there front and centre.
Oh, they're so proud. You know what? We're all proud of each other to see our faces. And you know what's funny and what's so black is that I'm related to every single one, every single person on this documentary except for one. And you know what? I didn't know half of them before this documentary.
There you go. Spread the love.
Yeah.
Tindelli, my sister, Talia Little, you keep smiling, my sister. Stay strong. Hello to your mob.
Thank you,
and we'll yarn soon, sister.
Yes.
Take care.
Thank
bye
you
bye.
For having me.
All right, darling. Bye-bye. Bye.
Slideshow begins. Yesterday is gone now, and panic sets in with a weight upon my chest and a ghost upon my back, and the numbing sensation of everything I lack that leaves me dreaming, dreaming, dreaming. Your real world. Twice I paid the price. Heard your lies, your disguise was such a surprise. Play this game before to claim you're to blame, that your name's been put to shame. It's all fine, but I'm needed. Sorry is all V-E-R-D-U-E. Sorry is all V-E-R-D-U-E. Sorry is all Viadiui. Sarizo. Over pride stood a line. Was divide, we collide. So you push me aside with this cry. You do your time. Was your mime in your prime? We'll have no stairs to climb. Cause so fine, what I'm needed. Sorry is all. V-R-D-U-E. Sorry is all. V-R-D-U-E. Sorry is all. V-R-D-U-E. Sorry is all. V-R-D-U-E. Third time around and your door's still shut. And are you ever gonna change? The truth is blinding, you're still denying. I'ma turn another page. You have missed your cue. It's overdue.
Yes, very good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from Macquarie. Come to you live here from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country. As BBM Bummer Brit Media, 98.7 FM, and we go across the nation thanks to NERS National Radio Service. You can have your say by calling us on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. Now, giving Aboriginal students and communities a voice in schools, University of New South Wales, Project Champion Cultural Inclusion and Genuine Long-Term Engagement is making a positive difference for First Nation communities in New South Wales. With that, we're going to catch up a yarn now with a lecturer in education and the co-ordinator of the Humanities Curriculum in the Sydney School of Education and Social Work at the University of Sydney, and that's Claire Gollidge on the line. Claire, good morning. How are you?
Morning, Trevor. I'm really well, thanks.
Thank you very much for coming to our program. And look, a fantastic conversation when we're talking about giving Aboriginal students and communities a voice in school. Of course, we're not talking to voice to Parliament. We're talking about engaging in education and educating our young ones and black and white and teachers as well, yes?
Yeah, that's right. So this is a program that really looks to improve outcomes for Aboriginal students, but primarily looking at the experience of teachers and improving teachers' own understandings and practice around Aboriginal education.
Now, there was a pilot back in 2021, Culturally Nourishing Schools, CNS, which is an acronym for Cairns as well, but project's now been rolled out in 8 new schools. So tell us about the pilot program 2021, and here we are in 2023, and what's happening at this point in time.
Yeah, so we've got a number of different schools around New South Wales that are trying a range of different strategies in their schools. We've got 5 different kind of strategies that we go into the schools and we work with primarily the teachers, but also, you know, the wider community to improve how we engage Aboriginal students. So we look at engaging with cultural mentors in the school. We do learning from country with the teachers there. And we look at kind of how teachers are teaching and also what they're teaching and improve their knowledge and understanding. And so we've been trialling that across 8 different schools since 2021. And, you know, so far we're seeing really, really great engagement from the Aboriginal communities, really positive outcomes and better understanding between teachers and students. And that can only be a positive thing
of
for
course,
our communities.
Of course, yeah. And the teachers then become students. I mean, we are students for life, so it's great to see a two-way street there. Can I ask about any First Nation teachers at the table as well?
Yeah, we do. We've got a lot of First Nations teachers that are part of the program, and we've also got, really importantly, in each of our schools, Aboriginal cultural mentors who are part of the project.
Yes.
And so they act as, I suppose, the intermediaries between the teachers and the school and the community and the families to make sure that we're all on the same page and all kind of prioritising this culturally nourishing approach to schooling. We also have a huge number of non-Indigenous teachers, of course, and, you know, our Aboriginal students are taught by a lot of non-Indigenous teachers, and what we want is for those teachers to feel really confident in teaching Aboriginal students in ways that are culturally nourishing. We want them to, you know, have a real appreciation for and real valuing of the culture of their Aboriginal students.
Yes.
And that's what we're really aiming here, is to see that improvement through education and engagement.
And the project's rolled out to 8 schools, I think you were saying?
Yeah, so we're piling it across those 8 schools, and, you know, it's been really, really positive. So each year we take a new cohort of teachers through the program, and so the schools that have been part of the project are now kind of getting really good numbers of teachers who've gone through all of the different interventions, so learning over a period of 12 months.
Look, it sounds like a great concept, and when we're talking New South Wales, to me this should be templated across the other states and territories as well, if not around the country.
Yeah, look, I mean, it's certainly something that we support, the idea that, you know, engaging community and engaging with teachers to prioritise a culturally nourishing approach to school can only be a positive thing. And I suppose, you know, we're in schools and we're working with teachers, but we're also researchers. So the other part of what we're doing is we're trying to collect evidence to really show and make a case for the kind of things that we're doing in schools and really spread the word. So it's why it's great to chat with you today.
Yeah, fantastic. Quickly, the students themselves, First Nation students, it'd be a great platform for them to become leaders, mentors, lecturers, you could say, yep.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, this is one of the things we know, is that when schools do engagement really well with their students, those students stay really well engaged and connected to the school going forward. Even when they've graduated and left the school, they're still really connected to the school community. Some of them might come back and be mentors, or may even come back and want to be teachers. And that is only a positive thing, right?
Confidence,
when students can see their own culture reflected back in their teachers and the workers that are within their schools, it really helps promote that kind of intergenerational success, which we're hoping to see.
And are we talking primary schools or high schools?
We've got a mixture of primary and high schools, so the majority of the schools involved are high schools, but we've also got a primary school in there too, and that's also fantastic to see, because obviously, particularly the younger students, you know, when they get an opportunity to learn in language and to do, for example, you know, mathematics lessons that are also in language or that are culturally responsive and engage with culture, it has a really big impact for them.
Powerful, so powerful. Claire Goldridge, thank you very much for sharing. All the best to your team, students and teachers. Keep doing what you're doing. Please keep in touch.
Thanks so much, Trevor. It's been great to chat.
You take care. Bye-bye.
Thanks.
De Leon there, and that's Claire Gollidge, a lecturer of education and the coordinator of the Humans Curriculum in the Sydney School of Education Social Work at the University of Sydney. And Claire's background is a secondary teacher of humanities, as well as school and executive leadership positions, leading teacher professional learning. So, look, a great platform, a two-way street, and non-Indigenous teachers are learning the way as well. So it is powerful. As I said, we are students for life, aren't we all? Have you say, Yarn Up Strong, daily program here is National Talk Black, and we're live at the First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country, BBM Bumbleybit Media, 98.7 FM, and we go across the nation thanks to the National Radio Service. Too deadly.
Brother murdered in Sydney town. A Marrickville brother under legal cover in his home they gunned him down. And we say, oh. Yeah, they shot him down. Well, they took him out at point blank range in his home with his small young son. They shot him dead in his Marrickville bed with a pump action 12 gauge shotgun. Yeah, they gunned him down. He left a fatherless child and a grieving wife, a black fugitive on the run. Running from 2 centuries, the Parisians a loaded gun. We say, oh, yeah, they shot him down. We say, oh, a sad river of tears, 200 years in the river of protection of the law. A terrorized black sin, thorns of fear that come a crashing through your door. You're not safe out there on a freedom street. You're not safe inside the can. With the shotguns and the stun gas, license to drop you where you stand. And we say, oh, yeah, they shot him down. Sad river of tears, 200 years in a river of tears. They shot him down. Sad river of tears, 200 years. Well, there's a cold rain on the autumn wind, a brother murdered in Sydney town. A Marrickville brother on the legal cover in his home, they gunned him down. Yeah, safe out there on a freedom street, you're not safe inside the camp. But with the shotguns and the stun gas, license to drop you where you stand, singing, oh, yeah, they shoot you down. A sad river of tears, 200 years, and a river of fear. Sad river of tears, 200 years in a river of fear. They shoot you down. A sad river of tears, 200 years in a river of fear. They shoot you down. A sad river of tears, 200 years in a river of fear. Down.
get on your mouth. It's me, Bushtaka Bungie, and you're listening to the National Talk Black program. Makaran.
National Talk Black, 1-800-422-416.
Yes, very good morning, you daily mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry, coming to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country. That's BBN Bumbabrip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Red Air Service. You can have your say by calling us on that daily number, 1-800-422-416. Now, Australians urge to prioritise healthy dental habits to avoid developing serious health issues. And we have new Australian Dental Association, ADA, research reveals 70% of Australians think looking after their mouth is a big part of their overall health. Yet 75% rarely or never floss, and 20% only brush their teeth once a day. A study shows links between neglected oral health and serious health conditions like cardiovascular disease, type 2 diabetes, smoke, stroke, low birth weight, babies, and pre-eclampsia in pregnant women. Yet new data shows 65% of people are not aware of this vital link. So talking about healthy dental habits, we're going to catch up a yarn now with Dr. Janani Ravindra and Australian Dental Association of Oral Health Promoter. Dr. Dajani, how are you? And welcome to the program.
Hi, Trevor. I'm well, thank you. Thank you for having me today.
Thank you very much for coming to the program. Can you tell us more about the new research findings, please?
Absolutely. So the Australian Dental Association completes an annual survey involving 25,000 Aussies. And this year, as you mentioned, has revealed some really worrying data. 65% of people are unaware of the link between the mouth and the body, and that might explain why, as you mentioned, 75% rarely or never floss, 20% only brush once a day, and 64% only visit the dentist when they have a problem. It really reveals the stark lack of recognition in the big role that your mouth plays when it comes to the health of your body.
So we're getting a bit laxy-daisy in regard to the mechanics of keeping our mouth, our oral part clean.
Absolutely. So the way in which your mouth is linked to the body is that the mouth is full of bacteria. There's a balance between good and bad bacteria. However, when you forget to floss or brush, it leaves food and bugs festering in between your teeth or around your gums.
Yes.
And the levels of bad bacteria start to grow. So they can enter your bloodstream, be swallowed into your gut or inhaled into your lungs. So they'll get lodged into other sites of your body where it could contribute to diseases developing or make conditions that you might have already worse.
Look, even I didn't know that, but that shows the importance of brushing teeth, cleaning teeth. Now, why are so many people still not brushing or flossing enough or visiting the dentist regularly?
So I think the big thing here is that we don't know the importance of our mouth when it does come to our general health. And that's why it's the big focus for us this Dental Health Week.
Mm.
If more people realise that massive impact that it does have, then we would hope that they're going to prioritise their oral health a lot more. We did find that a lot of people felt that they didn't need or want to brush their teeth more often. And 1 in 3 people actually said brushing their teeth causes them pain. And that's quite concerning because it could indicate an underlying problem that's just left to grow and get worse.
So how can neglected oral health lead to more serious health issues? Well, you mentioned that, didn't you? The food.
Yeah. So outside of those links between the mouth and the rest of the body, neglected oral health can actually contribute to tooth decay, gum disease, bad breath, yeast infections, and it could even lead to possible late screening of oral cancers.
Yeah. So what advice do you have for Aussies wanting to get into the good or better oral health habits?
It really doesn't take that much time out of your day to brush twice and floss once. It's actually just 6 minutes. So if you're brushing for 2 minutes at a time, that's 4 minutes done, and flossing once is that extra 2 minutes. So you're not dedicating that much time out of your day to do so. And on top of that, if you can visit your dentist regularly, you're going to get that early screening done, and that's going to lead to less complex treatment being required and finding things early. It's important to remember that a lot of oral conditions might not cause pain at the start, but when they do cause pain, it's probably too late.
Yeah. My granddad used to say, don't have to brush all your teeth, just the ones you want to keep. So we need to brush all our teeth.
Yes.
We need to brush all our teeth, don't we?
We do. And that's why we recommend the 2 minutes, because that's going to give you enough time to make sure that you're reaching all those tough-to-reach places.
Yeah, sure. Fantastic. Well, we are creatures of habit, and Well, 65% of habits are bad habits, so we just need to get good habits, Doctor.
Absolutely, and that comes into us recommending that you do take your children in as soon as possible. It's better to take children as soon as their first tooth appears or by the time that they're 1 year of age. The earlier we instill good habits, the better they're going to be in the long run.
Fantastic. Where can people go more to find out about healthy dental habits?
So there's a great range of resources and pro tip videos on the Australian Dental Association's website, peeps.org.au. There's a whole page about Dental Health Week, and there's also some ModSmiles resources that were created by an entirely Indigenous organisation.
Good. Fantastic. Okay, thank you very much for your yarn. Keep smiling, partner punt. Dr. Janani, a great yarn with you. Stay warm and we'll yarn soon, sister.
Thank you so much, Trevor. It was a pleasure to talk to you.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Adelie Yarn, beautiful yarn, and that's yarn in there with Dr. Janani Ravijandra and Australian Dental Association Oral Health Promoter, and talking about looking after your teeth, your dental cares, and it's about Australian urging to prioritise healthy dental habits to avoid developing serious health issues. So you need to do what you need to do, protect your pearly whites, and they said a good 2 minutes when brushing teeth. So look, have your beats playing, you know, read a book while you're brushing teeth, do what you need to do to keep it all clean, keep your pearly whites going strong. And look, it does prevent physical health illnesses within your body as well, because the food gets stuck in your teeth and eventually gets out and goes into your body. And if it's you could say rotten food, then it can affect your body. So do what you need to do, which I didn't know that. So it's good to have those conversations, get educated. You only know what you know, your mob. So act on it. Have your say, yarn up strong. As the conversation here, National Talk Black.